Morning, everybody. Today, I'm speaking here this morning. I'm so grateful for that. And my brother, Brad Smizer, is speaking at his church. And my son-in-law, Brent Petzold, is speaking at his church. So I would like to pray for those two and just this morning. So if you don't mind, let's pray. Lord, we are grateful to be in your house, grateful most of all to know you. I pray that you would please anoint all the words said today, that you would speak your truth, not only here, but through Brad and through Brent. And as the ears that you've prepared in both of those messages and in this message, that you would prepare the hearts as you see fit. We ask it all for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife, this is a joke, my wife tells me that I have two faults. I don't listen well and something else. I can't remember what it is. So I hope that you'll listen to this message and I hope that you'll get something out of it and more than just something else, that you'll have something out of it. The last time I was here, which was about a month ago, and it seems to me that I continually bring up desiring to know God. That was my title today, to desire to know God. That was my message last time I was here, but I got good news for you. That's not my message today. Here's why it's not. What my message today is, what's keeping you from knowing God? What is it that keeps you? I will tell you what it is for me, and I would bet that it's true for you too. What keeps me from knowing God and following closely to Him is blindness. Are you blind? Today, when we're done with this service, I hope that you'll be able to read your Bible and pay attention to every time it says sight, means something to you, saw, blind, or even look. Anything that deals with your eyes. By the way, my eyes are getting bad, so I've got to use these to help me. So with that in mind, that's my goal today, is that when you look and read his scripture, and he says, whatever, when it's the word look, sight, saw, blind, blindness, anything that has to do with your eyes and seeing him, that you'll pay attention to that and take that to heart and see how that fits. Today, that's what my goal is. All right, there's three pillars of a healthy church. And really, there's three pillars of a healthy walk. You might disagree with me, but I found this. This is what I found to be true. By the way, always check what I say. Always check what anybody says. I talked to my barber. I wanted to say this first, too. My barber, who is Cheryl. You just mentioned her, Jack. She's my barber. And that's so great to go into the Hoyles there at Larkland. And before we left, we had a word of prayer just about this message. And the one thing she told me, I wish you wouldn't have told me that, was you've really got some big shoes to fill. And that's true. Amen to that. But here are the three pillars of a healthy church and a healthy walk. Number one, you glorify God. Right or wrong? Yes. You're going to glorify God with all that you do, right? When we come together, we're here to glorify God. Everything you do this week, you want to glorify God. Number two pillar, to edify others. We come here, we are edifying. And we hear the word, we're edified through that. Whatever we do, we always glorify God and we're edifying others. And the third one is to evangelize. You go out into the world. All three of those pillars our lives stand on. Glorify God, edify others, and evangelize. And I'm here to tell you that what keeps me from those three things is blindness. All right, here we go. Pastor talked a couple Sundays ago, last time he was here. He talked about the whole armor of God, how important that is to put on the whole armor of God. And right below the armor of God in Ephesians 6:18, it says to pray in prayer always. If you go to Ephesians 6:18, you don't have to. I'll just tell you. Is to pray always and watching with all perseverance and supplication in prayer for all the saints. But I found that there's three things that hinder your prayers. Did you know that? There are three things that God will not hear your prayers. Let me show them to you. The first one is pride. So think about your life. Take the glasses off, the sunglasses off, and put on this. See this. Pride, and pride creeps in. It's not something that you go, most of us don't even see we have it. I can't see it in my life. I'm praying that God will show it to me. But James 4:6, what does it say? We all know James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But right before that, he says, God resists the what? The proud. Can you see it in your life? Can you see it? Check your life. Take inventory. I know that success in life sometimes really has a way of breeding pride. Comes along, creeps in. So always keep your prayers from being hindered. Check the pride box in your life. Make sure you can see it in your own life. It's crucial because he resists you if you have it. And again, I say this, ask the Lord to show you that in your life. Go before him and ask him, show me where there's pride. The second one, I hate to tell you, it's for you husbands. And it's a big one. So if you're not a husband, not for you, not for you. But if you're a husband, 1 Peter 3:7. Whew, this one hit me pretty hard. Suzanne would know this. You can turn to this one because I'm going to read this one because I need this one. 1 Peter 3:7. You beat me there. 1 Peter, I'm there. 1 Peter 3, and I got my glasses on. All right, 1 Peter 3:7. Pay attention, husbands. Here we go. You ready? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Who's them? Husbands. Who's them? Husbands, are you here? Who's them? Yes, thank you. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your, somebody tell me, that your prayers be not hindered. Whew, that's two. Two of them that have got me wrapped up. Two of them, both of those things. I'm praying to the Lord for help. I don't want to be blind. I want all these things, and I'm praying, and he's not listening because of pride and how, and your wife. And it spells it out right there, husbands. Spells it out right there. Wang, that was a shot this week. And it continues. It's continual. I mean, that's a continual battle for me. But, husbands, I got good news and bad news. For everyone else that's here, for everybody else that here, this is the most popular category. To have your prayers not listened to by the Lord. It's in Psalm 66. You can turn there. Psalm 66. I don't hear any pages shuffling. You do it like me, you do it on your phone. Psalm 66. All right, let me get there. Hang on. Almost there. I'm in Psalm 119. We're going there in a little while. Psalm 66. This one is really encompassing. I'd say this one probably is even bigger for me than the first two. But what about you? But what about you? Psalm 66. Again, he's not going to listen to you. Here we go. Psalm 66:18 says, but it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what? Not hear me. Does that worry you? Does that worry you? You have to be able to take inventory. And I would say this, you have to be able to see him. You want to see him clearly. Who doesn't? He leads our lives, right? I hope so. He doesn't hear you. Now, I looked up the two key words in that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. By the way, I want you to know this. The me in there was added. That's in italics. Anything that's in italics in your Bible, they added that. Let me tell you what it really says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Even more powerful. Not than just you. He's not going to hear. He turns a deaf ear. He doesn't hear. He hears everything, right? Not when you regard iniquity in your heart. I looked up the word regard. Regard means to pay attention, to consider or relate to. So if I relate to or pay attention to the next word, iniquity, and iniquity, I looked that word up too, and you know what it says? It equals, or it means sin, wicked, corruption, immorality. Ladies, how hard is it for you in your own life? Is there iniquity in your life? I know it's in mine. I know it's in mine. Think about it. So that encompasses everybody in this room. Those three things keep the Lord from hearing your prayers. Now I think about those three things, and I think, you know, God says in his word, I'm not going to pay attention to you. I'm not going to hear you. And then I think about our country. Think about that, where we're at, and the country we live in, and the city that we are part of. For me, it's a college that I'm a part of. And the conviction of even my team. But ultimately, I look at myself, and that's what the message is. Can you look at yourself, or are you blind to it? Are you even blind to yourself? Think yourself you're pretty good, and there's no iniquity. I take care of pretty good care of my wife. I pay for everything. I have for sure no pride in my life. Oh yeah? You better be taking care of that. Can you look at those things? Can you look at those things? All right. So I give you the problem. That's the problem we all have, right? Am I right? Are you awake today? Do we have that problem? Does anybody here not have any of those three problems? Raise your hand. I want to talk to you after the service. All right, we're great. We're great. We all have those problems, right? And that shuts it down in terms of our life. We put on the whole armor of God, but when we pray, he doesn't hear us. I don't want that. Do you want that? I want him to hear my prayers. I want him to know. I want to be able to go before his throne. So I got to check those three things every day, right? Make sure you do. Make sure you do. So a good coach does not only tell you what you're doing wrong, but he has to tell you what you got to do right and how you have to do it. How do we deal with the problem of blindness in our own life? How do I deal with it? The first thing that you have to do is you have to have Christ as your only hope. He has to be the Savior. I like what Jesus told Nicodemus, and I have many, many Catholic friends. I got this from Ray Comfort, and it really stuck home with me. As he was witnessing, and the guy says, I'm Catholic. You know what Ray asks a Catholic every time? Are you born again? Are you born again? I thought, wow, that's kind of neat. That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you born again? Have you been born again? John 3:3. Can we go there? Let me hear your Bible, Russell. John 3:3. Quickly go there. John 3:3. I got a lot to do here. Got a lot to get through. What time is lunch today? No, I'm just kidding. John 3:3. I hear. All right. John 3:3 says. Now I want you to pay attention. Watch me now. No, you don't have to watch me, but watch the scripture again. When you see the word, anything to do with your vision, ask the Lord to give you vision to see him clearly. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Do you see the kingdom of God? Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Again, it's vision. That's the first step. That's the first step to knowing him. You have to be born again. He tells that to Nicodemus. You have to be born again. I have a side note for you. Jesus in verse 14 says to him, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let's go there for a second. The cross reference is Numbers 21:8. What happened in the wilderness? They're sinning. People are sinning. God's not happy with them. These little snakes come in, bite them. I hate snakes. My wife really hates snakes. They come in and bite them. God says, Moses, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build, you're going to put a snake together. He fashions a snake, puts it on a pole, puts it in the middle of the camp. What do you have to do? You have to look. There it is again. You want to be healed, you've got to look at the snake. Side note, again, your eyes, the sight. Those eyes in Moses' day had to actually look at the snake. I think in Jesus' term, what he says see, when he says see, I think it's a different, not a physical eye, but you still see it. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? There's two different types of sight. You have to know which one. I think it's important and imperative for your Christian walk that you can see it in your own life first. In your own life first. By the way, it's real simple for me to see all the faults of my wife. I can see them all. Gosh, I can bring them up. I bet you she can see them on me too. But the most important is I see it for myself. Don't worry about the speck in your wife's eye, husbands, or whatever. Worry about the beam in your own eye, all right? I love the eyes. Here we go. That was the eyes. That was a sidebar. Sorry. You got that for no charge for that. All right. So here we go. Now we have things that we can do. I'm giving you solutions. First of all, it takes wisdom to see this. It takes wisdom. James 5:1. First turn to get this right. I think you have to ask for wisdom. It doesn't come by you just going through the day moronically. I think you have to ask for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, we all lack wisdom, then you ask God for it. But remember this, don't ask God with pride in your heart, and if you don't treat your wife right, and if you regard iniquity in your heart, he's not going to hear you. We got to get that right. Am I right or wrong? You got to get that right. So when you get that right, now you go and ask for wisdom. And I tell you what, if you have that right, you're going to be humble. You're going to be paying attention to your weaker vessel, husbands. And you're going to be checking iniquity in your heart. You have to do it every day. Every day. But the great thing is, in that verse in James 1:5, he says, ask me for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. Ask him for wisdom, and he will give it to you. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man that finds wisdom and gets understanding. You need that in your life? Does anybody need that in their life? Are you awake? Do you need it? Amen? Amen. You better have wisdom. You better have understanding. If you're coaching a basketball team, you better have understanding because you're going to be bad. Nathaniel put his camper together. I got to help him a little bit. I got to hold the hose, basically. I just watched him. If they would have asked me to put that camper together, he's putting it up. He's unhitching it and putting it up. I had no understanding or wisdom of that. You talk about a disaster. I have no idea what I'm doing. But I watch him. He's done it before. But there was wisdom that he had done it. He understood how to do it. You want that in your life, right? As you walk with the Lord, you better have that with your life. You want that. I want that. This is really directed to me. I don't know where anybody's at in this disclaimer. I don't know where anybody's at in this congregation other than Suzanne and maybe a little bit Catherine and Nathaniel, but not really. But me, I know plenty where I'm at, and I need this for sure. I love the fact that he says he will give you wisdom, but don't be blind to him. Don't be blind when you ask for that. When you ask for wisdom, look for it. See it. See it as you're receiving it. Understand that it's coming from him. I think the third thing that I work on that helps with blindness is spending time in his word. Now watch this. Psalm 119:105. I know you know that. I know you know that, but what does it say? Does anybody here know what Psalm? You can look it up and read it if you want to. Yeah, Eunice, go ahead. Very good. Psalm 119:11. That's good. Who knows what Psalm 119:105 says? 105. You may got that one? Want me to help you? That was good, Eunice. I actually have that written down. You got it. You hide your word, and you hide his word in your heart. You don't want to sin against him, so you're going to hide your word. Psalm 119, 105 says what? Anybody got it? Go ahead, Dorothy.
That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto.
What does that have to do with, fellas and ladies and gentlemen? What does it have to do with? Yeah. Thy word is a lamp. You're in the dark. You want a lamp to see where you're going. It's a lamp into your, it's a light into your path. There is no blindness, right? Are we on the same page? So you're beginning to start to look. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to throw a lot at you. You're beginning to look. Now, when it says light, you can see where you're going. There is no blindness. Go in the dark. See where you're going. What do you do in the dark? You stumble. You fall. You fall into the pit. But when you have the light, you can see. Again, it's relative. Blindness is in the dark. The light shines. His word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Amen? And you want to hide that in your heart. Thank you, Eunice, because you want to know what you're doing. You want to see where you're going. That word that you've hidden in your heart is a lamp and a light to you. Beautiful. And I think that's encouraging that we do that here. I love that, that we are memorizing Scripture. And that's the reason why. That's the reason why. I would tell you this when you do it, when you're looking at the hiding it in your heart and the lamp into your feet, don't just check it off in your life. Again, this is drawing close to Him. But whenever you do it, find Him. Find Him in some way. Look for Him. Don't miss Him. Make it about Him. Because it is amazing. It knocks all three of those things down. Pride goes down. Iniquity. You see it. We're going to look at that in just a minute. You see what's going on. When you have Him as the light of your life. And that to me, I think to me, is what I've missed the most in my life as I look back. I was checking things off. Yeah, I did it. But I missed Him. Don't miss Him. Don't miss Him at all. All right. So those are a couple of things that I would suggest that you have, that you think about. If you took notes, if you didn't, I'll give you these notes, or I'll send them to you. Now I want you to see the results of seeing Him. When you find Him, and you don't want to miss Him, now you're going to get the results of seeing Him. The first result, I'm going to tie two things together. The first one is Job. Now Job actually got to see Him. So Job 42... Verses 5 and 6. Job 42, verses 5 and 6. I'm not going to read it to you, but you can look it up. Job says in verse 5 of chapter 42, "My eye seeth thee." He got to see Him. He actually saw the Lord. What do you do when you get a glimpse of the Lord? What did Job do when he got a glimpse of the Lord? He did two things. And I think these are consistent when you see the Lord. When you see the Lord, these are consistent in your life, just like they were for Job. One, he abhorred himself. That's not what the world would tell you. They won't tell you that. They want you to make yourself think good of yourself. When Job saw the Lord, he abhorred himself. And he did one other thing that I think is really, really important. He repented. He abhorred himself and repented. How many times have you thought that way of yourself? Very few for me, very few. I'm encouraging you to find that. Job repented. He says he repented in dust and ashes, but I think the key word is he just repented. Are you always seeing the sin in your life? Do you see it? When you see the Lord, man, it magnified everything in Job's life. And there was a guy, I mean, let's look at Job real quick. Very rich, probably very important in the community. He had it all. He had everything. And you know, I didn't do anything wrong. He had every right to say, "I didn't do anything wrong." His friends come to him, tell him, "You had to do something. There's got to be something. God doesn't do that to just anybody." And even then, when he saw God, he repented, and when his eyes saw Him, he repented and he abhorred himself. 1A is Isaiah. Isaiah in the first five chapters of Isaiah, really in Isaiah 5, he says it about five or six times, woe are you! Woe are you! He is going after those guys. He is preaching a sermon that probably would have been not very well received by anybody in Israel, because he goes after him. And he says in the first five chapters, woe is you. But he gets to chapter 6. Guess what he sees? In chapter 6, verse 1, he says, I saw the Lord. Then what does he say? What does he say in chapter 6 after he saw the Lord? Woe is me. That put it straight, right? And as you know the chapter, he's a man of unclean lips, and he's dwelling with a people of unclean lips, and he deals with the sin in his life. You know, think about this, we're all from Kansas. I think this is a trait of a Kansan, by the way. Since I'm a Kansan, I can say this. I think it's pretty easy to find everything else. We are all country, right? I can find everybody else's sin. I can go around here. Oh, don't like that, don't like that. Boy, I have a hard time finding it in me because I'm blind to it. I don't want to see it in me. I don't even think about it. Those two guys saw the Lord. They both saw the Lord. And they both said, oh my, I abhor myself. Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. How often, this is my question, how often have you seen that in your life? How often? Think about that. Because I got news for you. When you have the walk that you have, you better see that every day. I would think, what do you do when you see it? You do exactly what Job did and you repent. I am so sorry, Lord. I see the pride and the iniquity in my heart. Just amazes me that I can walk. And then I pray and I ask for this and I need your help. And he says, I resist the proud. Don't you know? Read my word. I resist the proud. I'm going to give grace to the humble, though. Same for you with your walk. Same for you with your walk. Now we come to it, my brother Frank. Frank, thank you so much. Now we look at 2 and 2A. I want you to see this. Now we'll go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I love this rendition because it was someone who was outside of the circle. The outside of the circle of the Jews. He wasn't a disciple. This was a guy. Let me tell you about the centurion, first of all, what I know about him. The centurion was in charge. If you were a centurion soldier, you had 100 soldiers under you. That's what you did. Think about how hard that would have been to get up today, and you had 100 people under you. You had a lot going on, I'd say, if you had 100 people under you. You also would have been important. David Smucker could relate. He has crews. It's hard, right, David? You get up, I got to get this job done, I got to get this job done. My job, whatever it was, as a centurion soldier, say that three times. He had a job to do. He got 100 men. He's got to keep those guys busy. They're on the move. They're on the move. And yet he takes time. He comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus to heal his servant. Now I ask you, do you think he saw the Lord for what he was? Do you think he did? Now, he probably, like Job and like Isaiah, he'd probably seen him work a miracle. I mean, when that stuff started happening, we cannot imagine. There is nobody in Hutchinson or Kansas or the United States or the world that could imagine what it would be like if one man could heal you of anything you had. If you had cancer, if you were blind, if you had an issue of blood, if you had anything and one man could heal you, what would you do? Think of your family. Think of somebody who has cancer in your family. I would do anything I could. Remember the dropping the man through the ceiling? They would do anything they could to get him to get an audience with him, because what's he going to do? He's going to heal him. So they had seen, I guarantee you, that was not a secret. That was not a secret in that day. I was saying this to Suzanne the other day. I cannot imagine when Jesus would have slept. How would he have gotten any sleep? That would be a constant line of people day after day after day after day. He's healing them all. Can you imagine the rejoicing as they're leaving? Can you imagine them going back to their town and saying, guess what? I can talk. I can hear. I can see. He was doing that all. And they were coming from all over to see him. So when the centurion got to him, he'd already seen, I'm certain, he had seen something. He knew that Christ had the power. And I love the verse. No. Don't come to my house. I'm not worthy that you would come. That's a guy that's seen the Savior. He has seen him. And he knows how important you are. I got a bunch of guys under me. I tell them what to do, and we go do it, and we got that job. Go get that done. Report back when you get it done. Right, David? I even have to check it on some of it. Don't come to my house, but just say the word. Just say the word. There's a man that's seen the Lord right there. He knows. He knows how powerful he is. He knows how great he is. And what happens? I didn't have Frank read it, but he goes, and that very hour that servant is healed. Not even a surprise to me. I saw it. I talked to him. I know it. And I love what Jesus said about him. Jesus said, I have not seen. When Jesus heard it, in verse 10, he marveled and said unto them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That faith was in him. That faith was in Jesus. And I believe that that centurion soldier could see the Lord for what he was worth and really who he was. Now, two-way centurion soldier at the foot of the cross. First of all, I think about that centurion soldier getting up that day. He slept that night. He gets up that day, stretches. What are you doing today, darling? I got a crucifixion. That centurion soldier took care of crucifixions. That was his assignment from Pilate. He answered to Pilate. That's what you're doing today. Think about this now. I want you to think about this. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Do you know the difference between being a thief? And Jesus replaced Barabbas, who was a robber. What's the difference between being a thief and a robber? Did you know there was? A thief just takes. I'm going to take it. I got news for you. Everybody that's here is a thief. I guarantee you, you've taken something. You're a thief. I am. You're a thief. A robber comes to your house with a gun and says, I'm here to rob you. Give me your wallet. He's a robber. That's a robber. That's what Barabbas was. The two thieves that are hanging here with him, they were thieves. Scripture, look it up. They were thieves. Barabbas was a robber. And Jesus takes the place of a robber. I don't think we could ever even remotely imagine how hard that was at the cross. And the centurion soldier had done this a lot. This was not even a, I say this really respectfully. This was not a big deal for him. I think that was his job. Yeah, you're pounding in the nails. But I will tell you this, I bet you he had never seen the scribes and the Sadducees and all those people, even the priest, come out there and say, if you're really the Son of God, what'd they tell him? Come off that cross. Let's see it. Prove it. Let's see it. If you're really that, come on down. He had to be standing right there. He's standing right there. He's overseeing it. He's not going to leave his post. They're making fun of him. And even the two thieves. Think about this. For a while, both of those guys are going, hey, how about us? Take care of us too. Then finally, one thief sees him for who he is. Do you remember that? And he says to him, look, remember me. when you come to your kingdom. Man, Jesus took every opportunity and said, hey, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, I would have loved to have seen that. I hope that's recorded. Because that homecoming, that had to be so special. You're going in with Jesus to all eternity, to heaven. You get to go with him, and you're a thief. Think about it. He took a thief. But the thief confessed him as Savior. He saw him for what he was worth. Back to the centurion soldier. If you read the scripture, there were a couple of things that happened. One is it's noon. It's about noon now. I'm almost done. It's about noon. The sun is shining and it's hot. It's going to be hot today. It's bright. We could turn the lights off in here. I thought about doing that. I'm not going to do it. We could turn the lights off and everybody could see in here because the sun's shining. But you know, Jesus was on that cross for 3 hours. It's noon. It's total darkness. What would you do if you're a centurion soldier? I've never seen this before. Wow. He had to be thinking, what is going on? The Bible says that the earthquakes happen. Can you imagine standing there with an earthquake? But even better than that, guess what happened? The rocks. Does anybody know? Anybody know? What? Yeah, the rocks were rent in two. I would say that's crying out. He is watching all of that. And he's listening to these guys. You're not the Son of God. You can't even come off the cross. And I'm sure it was worse than any of us would know. He's standing right there. And what does he say? What does he say at the end? Yeah, surely, truly, this was the Son of God. He saw it. This is the Son of God. He had heard those guys always say that to him. You're not the Son of God. Yet he would say, truly, this was the Son of God. In Matthew, he says that, in Mark, and then I think maybe, I can't remember if it's Luke, that he says, truly, this was a righteous man. My question to you is this. Can you see him? Can you see him working in your life? Do you see him at all? Does it make any difference? You're just going through your life. Don't miss him. Why would you get to the end and go, I wish I would have. Don't miss him. Don't miss him. Pray for each other that you don't. And my prayer is today that every time you see the word sight or hear the word sung in sight or see blindness and anything in your life that you can see him clearly, that's what you want. That's what you want. Never, ever, never get to the end and say, gosh, I didn't even see him. Look for him and look for the opportunity. Look for it, the opportunity to edify. Look for the opportunity to evangelize. Look for the opportunity to glorify God in all that you do. I'm going to make one change. We're going to sing the first verse of Amazing Grace 336 right after I pray here. And then I appreciate... Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. Wow, how wonderful you are. What a wonderful God you are to be our Savior, to take and carry all the sin. It wasn't the sin of Hutchinson. It wasn't the sin of this church. It was not the sin of the United States. It was the sin of the world you would die for. The sin of the world. There is no way, Lord, we can wrap our mind around it other than to look at our own sin in our own life. The pride as husbands, the iniquity, never to let our prayers be hindered. To put on the whole armor of God each day, but also to pray and never let anything get in the way. I ask for sight. I ask for sight for this church. I ask for sight for each one that's here. Not the sight to see what's wrong with my brother, but the sight to see you, not to miss you. In all things, Lord, we give you honor and glory, and may your name be praised throughout the week in Jesus' name.